from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Welcome back to hour number 2 of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number 2. That guy right there is James Hamm. This guy right here is Kyle Madsen. Talking NBA Finals, talking Kings, talking NBA Draft. Lots going on. James, we're going to flip the rundown around a little bit, just FYI. So we talked a little bit about Rob Dillingham, which is the Kings selection in a mock draft in The Athletic that came out today. The Ringer and Kevin O'Connor put out a mock today with Nikola Topic going to the Kings. And what I thought was interesting about the write-up is that it doesn't mention the fact that he's hurt.
Oh.
Which is kind of odd, and he might miss like all of this season. Because he tore his ACL, right? Did I dream that? Did I imagine that?
That Rob Dillingham did?
No. Topic.
Oh, no. Yeah. Topic, they found a torn ACL.
Right.
European.
Be embarrassing.
Yeah.
The combine.
In the European combine.
Yes.
Yeah, they just discovered a partially torn ACL, and they were going to bring him overseas. Now, the only reason Topic would fall to the Kings at 13 would be because of a blown ACL.
Right.
And, like, look, if the Kings have some other big deal that they're working out that doesn't include the 2024 pick, and you retain your 2024 pick, that's a player you're like, why not? Like, a top 5 player, top 6 player falls to 13 because of an ACL, and you redshirt him this year, and you have him work on the knee, and then you build him up in the G League once he's healthy and all that stuff. But again, an ACL tear is usually a full year, and we're already, you know, in June. So, or if he does go under the knife, you're looking at a full year of recovery.
But I almost think that we talked about this with Dillingham too, where, man, if this player's falling to 13, now all of a sudden the 13th pick is pretty valuable.
Yes.
And man, I'm with you on, because he's a like 6'5" rangy scorer, ball handler type. He can fill it up. He's a good player. But if he's not helping you this year, and there's an offer on the table, and again, if you have to use your pick, if there's just, yeah, hey, can't work out a trade, there's no trade that's gonna really help us, so we're gonna have to take Nikola Topic, and great, you're living with that and feeling good about it. But I just think that that is a dream scenario for the Kings, not because they can draft the player, but because I think, again, now all of a sudden you're getting real value for the 13th pick in a way that you didn't think you might in this year's draft.
Yeah.
Or with this year's draft class.
No, I mean, that's why the draft is, especially this draft in particular, is so fluid, because there are going to be players that people fall in love with, right? Like, whether it's Klingon that is on one board is at 7, one board he's at number 1, right? There could be someone like that falls. There's a lot of guys in this draft that could fall. But like Topic is 6'7" point guard. Like I'm a little leery on his 6'5.5" wingspan. That's probably not a good thing to have a negative wingspan.
Awesome. Yeah.
Which lends me to believe he's not really 6'7". That's where I'm going to guess he's not 6'7".
Probably closer to about 6'5".
Yeah. So, but like these are players where you're like, you're intrigued, and all up and down the board on this year's draft, I think there's only a couple of constants. Like Donovan Clingham, I think will be a top 5 pick, right? Mm-hmm. But also I think Dalton Knecht will be a top 12 player, no problem. And you know exactly who he is because he's been in the college game for 3-4 years, right? So there's just so much unknown outside of that, you know, whether it's the international players, and we're talking like four of the top like 13 picks are international. Outside of that, you've got your G League players. So there's two more G Leagues that are super young G League players. Mm-hmm. And then I'm just looking at the players that are picked to, that are projected to go from 13 up, right? Mm-hmm. Between 1 and 13. So we got 4 internationals, 2 G League players, which one of those is an international.
Jeez.
And then 1, 2, 3, 4 freshmen. So we're looking at like 10 of the top 13 are freshman international or G League, and all of the international players are like 18, 19 year old internationals. Mm-hmm. We're not talking about like a 22 year old international player coming over. So there's only a couple of players in this draft where, again, Klingon and Connect and Devin Carter, those are the only guys, 3 guys that are like seasoned college players.
Wow.
That should go where the Kings are at or above them, before them in the draft.
And it's not that Dennis Youngblood in the chatty house, youtube.com/ESPN1320 if you want to hang out with us. But he said, number 1 ranked point guard in this year's draft and you don't want him on the Kings. Like, it's not that if he's there and you can't work out a deal that makes you better, then yeah, go get him. But I also think that there's going to be an emphasis on this season specifically.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's a chance that the Kings can go add, let's just say it's Kyle Kuzma, just for in fact, you know what? No, let's go to a better player. Let's say it's Brandon Ingram.
Okay.
And the Pelicans are like, hey, we want the 13th pick in this trade. And you can do that, then go do that.
Oh yeah.
Instead of taking Topic. But if the Jazz are like, hey, we'll give you John Collins for the 13th. Then no, that's not going to make you that much better. Go get the player, and know that next season you're going to get a really good player coming into your club. But I think there's going to be a lot of emphasis on this year, with the way last season went. I don't know that the Kings ownership, front office, coaching staff is going to be thrilled with, yeah, hey, roster didn't get a lot better this year, but hey, next year this Topic kid.
I think it's Topic.
No disrespect if I'm pronouncing it incorrectly, but this kid next year, though, while they go win 45 games and miss the playoffs, like, that's not going to fly, dude.
It's tough. It is. Yeah,
that's
super
why
tough
I don't make these decisions, because I would not be able to.
Yeah, and I think someone is comparing, is saying that Dillingham is that what you're hearing? Dillingham is a top point guard prospect, or are they saying Topic?
I think it was Topic.
Okay, yeah, because again, when we're talking about...
It might have been Dillingham. I don't know.
Well, if we're talking about Dillingham, there's also Devin Carter, who is an older prospect, who all of a sudden fits every single box that the Kings would look at.
I like Devin Carter a lot.
He's 6'3 and a half. He's got a 6'8.75 wingspan, so a 6'9 wingspan, a defensive road grader, and he averaged 8.7 rebounds per game from a shooting guard position or a point guard position. He also shot 37.7% from 3. You know, he's a little loose with his handles, 2.7 turnovers per game, but 1.8 steals. That's the guy. And he fits who the Kings are.
Mm-hmm.
That's who the Kings draft, a 22-year-old who has proven time and time again that he can play. And that's Anthony Carter's son, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is a player we've already gone over. But that's where, if you're looking at all of the things that are happening with the Kings, if they are going to draft at 13, if push comes to shove, and these two players, Dillingham and Carter, were on the board at the same spot, I have a tough time believing they're not drafting Devin Carter.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm right there with you. When you just look at the history of A, how they've drafted in the past, and B, what they need.
Yeah. And again, around the same exact like range in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
That's what, I don't know. This is a guy that checks more boxes in the Sacramento Kings world than a Rob Dillingham or even a Topic, who Topic is probably going to miss the entire season.
Yeah.
And if it's not the entire season, he might miss 6 months. And again, that's development time. That's
right.
An then off season. That's learning the game, all that stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's tough.
Yeah. It puts him in a really tough spot. And I think that you're going to see Sacramento prioritize the 2024-2025 season above all else when it comes to this offseason.
Especially when it comes to draft night and it comes to the first 2 days of free agency, where not only free agency happens, but trades happen.
Yes.
And draft night is where a lot of trades get built out.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're going to be they won't become official until the 6th when the moratorium lifts.
Mm-hmm.
But that's when a lot of trades happen is right there.
Yeah. So I, again, it's not disrespect to those players as prospects. I think because they are good prospects, you're going to see potentially some good value coming back to the Kings if they move those picks, if one of those two players or both of those players falls to them. And that's, I think, where they're going to go. Unless a lot changes if Monk does leave. Because now it's changing a little bit how you're constructing your team, and maybe you think that Dillingham can be that guy. But
even still, if that were the case, I think you can probably still use the 13th as a value of the 13th pick and then go find a $4 million player that you hope that you could, that's got a couple of years in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Like we've talked about this, Sabonis Highlands.
D'Anthony Melton.
Yeah, D'Anthony Melton.
Sabonis Highland, who oddly enough is one of the player comps for Rob Dillingham in the ringer.
There you go. Yeah, there might be an ability to go get one of those guys who has experience and could step in and help right away. And then that number 13 pick you can still use as a valuable trade chip to go get something better.
Yeah, definitely. So. We'll keep doing this. We'll keep talking Kings offseason throughout the next couple of months. Lots going on. But we have a finals game tonight, Game 5 between the Celtics and Mavericks in Boston. You'll hear it right here on ESPN 1320 with coverage beginning at 4:30. James and I will have pregame for you at 4 o'clock as well. Keys to victory for both of those teams coming up next on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center. Out.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Game 5 of the NBA Finals is tonight. Here we go. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We'll have keys to victory for you for the Mavs and Celtics tonight. James, you've got the Mavs today.
Mm.
I will take the Celtics. My keys for the Mavs game 4 were a lot of hey, Luka, don't foul out and don't complain to the officials and play a little defense. And he did all those things and it worked.
Uh-huh.
So hopefully whatever keys you have, because I'm at the point now, I didn't care that much who won. I thought it'd be cool to see Tatum and Brown and those guys hoist a trophy. But I would have loved the underdog Mavs story. So I'm just here for the vibes. But now I'm here for games. Mm. I want more games.
Okay.
I need maximum games. So I need your Mavs keys to be right and to have them follow them. So key number 1 for the Mavs tonight.
Come out hot and give the Celtics that deja vu feeling.
Oh.
Make them question what's happening. Make them start to go, uh-oh, what's happening? Is it possible that we could let this thing slip away? Because we do know the Celtics in the past have not always lived up to the hype and have not always shown up in these big situations.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you put the fear in them? Because that's how you get back in the series.
Dude, that ties in perfectly with mine. So I'll read it and then we'll stick here. For the Celtics, for me, you got to hit your threes early. And it's for that exact reason. Because if the Celtics are not knocking down their threes early, now all of a sudden that, I think they've overcome the whatever it was that caused them to collapse in the 2022 finals against Golden State, because I genuinely believe Boston was a better team that year. They just didn't have the experience to really get over that hump. And then whatever it was that made them lose to the Heat before the finals last year is in the conference finals, whatever that was that made them lose to that Miami team, I thought they'd overcome it. And I still think they have. But if they're missing their threes early and the Mavs are coming out and they're hitting shots, all of a sudden that home crowd, because while there could be a home court advantage, there's also a little bit of a disadvantage when that crowd starts to get uncomfortable. Like we've all been to sporting events where high pressure situation and that crowd just a little tense.
It gets a little tight.
The vibes eerie. It just gets scary. So I think to your point, with the Mavs coming out and giving the Heat that, or the Celtics, excuse me, that deja vu feeling, I think the Celtics can avoid that if they just knock down their threes early on. That's their offense. And if they're cold to start the game, I think it's going to be really, really hard to dig out of that hole.
Yeah, I think if this is a close game, Boston wins. I do. Mm-hmm. And then if it's going to be a blowout, I think that it can go either way. Because I don't think Dallas is going to win a close game in Boston.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I don't think so. So,
number two.
Hit the glass. For some reason, I think this is a missing part of game four. Sure, Boston missed shots, but the Mavs out-rebounded the Celtics 52-31.
Good Lord.
And this is something that could have happened multiple times in this series and could have been like a major factor. But when it comes to rebounding, the Mavericks just have better athletes flying at the rim. They do. They've got bigger, stronger guys that are going to the rim. Now, Al Horford has been a decent rebounder throughout his career, but he's a position rebounder. Without Porzingis to fly in and get some boards, they need other guys to really step up. But Gafford and Derek Lively are huge dudes,
mm-hmm,
and super athletic. And if they decide to go win the glass, that gives them an opportunity to win this game.
They out-rebounded Dallas on the offensive glass 13-4. Derek Lively by himself had 7 offensive rebounds. The Celtics as a team had 4 offensive rebounds. That's crazy. And that's why this, again, my second key ties into yours. You got to put a body on Derek Lively.
Mm-hmm.
He is a giant man and he is a good athlete. I understand it. But the Celtics whole thing is like, yeah, hey, you can't really outsize them. You can't out-athleticism them. They just always kind of got answers. And they don't really have an answer for Derek Lively, or they didn't in game four.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care if it's Derek White or Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum or Peyton Pritchard or whoever, somebody get a body on Derek Lively. That if he's pulling down offensive boards, that's really, really demoralizing.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting pivot point in this series,
mm-hmm,
where one team does have an advantage in a specific area,
mm-hmm,
that I don't think that they've capitalized on in multiple games. All, mm-hmm, of a sudden, they may have uncovered something, and it reminds me a little bit of how the physicality of the game, that's usually when you see the rebound numbers have like a major disparity, mm-hmm, when one team is way more physical. But it reminds me of what happened in the Kings-Warriors series a year and a half ago,
mm-hmm,
when the Warriors just, and specifically, come on, Looney, just destroyed the Kings. Every single time you thought you had a defensive stop,
yep,
he got an offensive rebound and hit a spray three,
yep,
hit it out to a guy for a spray three.
Yep.
It was demoralizing.
Yep.
And that's where I think you can sort of break a little bit of the confidence of the Celtics by dominating, mm-hmm, the glass that way.
Yeah, definitely. The other thing that's kind of funny about this is we're like, hey, Derek Lively could be a pivot point of this series. He was huge getting him to the finals, and now, man, if he keeps playing like that, it could swing this thing in a direction we didn't think it could go. Meanwhile, we talk about the Kings, and we're like, well, yeah, a rookie can't contribute.
It's
just a funny juxtaposition.
And a rookie, what, number 13 pick or number 12 pick, whatever Lively was. Yeah,
same area of the draft. shout out to Derek Lively. He's having a really, really fine rookie year. Number three for you.
Number three, keep your mouth shut and play.
Well,
I mean, if you want to talk trash to the other team, that's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
You want to talk trash to the fans, that's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Go out there and play. Don't worry about the officiating. Go out there and leave it all out there.
Mm-hmm.
And like, stay laser focused on what's happening and what you can control.
Mm-hmm.
And if the Mavs can do that, I think they at least have a shot. But that's where I think the distractions, they've allowed the officials to be part of the conversation in this series, where I really don't think the officials needed to be any. There is not like some egregious blown call that we can all point to outside of maybe the slight hand in the back. But even
that was a dunk that was going to cut a game from
five to three
with 20 something seconds left, or inside of a minute. But it would still, like you said, it shouldn't have been a conversation. Number three for me, who wants the MVP? Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum? One of them needs to step up. They combined, and I know they came out, they only played 27 minutes each, but they combined to go 7 of 22. They combined took 22 field goals in game four. They were combined 2 of 9 from 3. Between the two of them, again, this is Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, the two guys who were the favorites to be the Finals MVP. 25 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, 5 turnovers, 7 fouls. And they went a combined minus 61. One of those two guys, I don't give a damn which one it is, go take over the game. Be that dude. Mm-hmm. And if one of those guys does that, if one of those guys goes out and has a great game, I think it's would be really, really tough for the Mavericks to overcome that. Just because of everything that does for the rest of Boston's offense when one of those two guys gets rolling. So which one of them wants it? I would like to see one of them go grab that award around the throat and take it. And I think if they do that, I think we get Celtics in 5, in which case James and I will be right. And while I am rooting for more games because I do love basketball and I do love watching the sport, especially at the highest level like this, I also like being right more. So I would love to be correct.
Celtics in 5.
Celtics in 5.
That's us.
Is what needs to happen. But now that I've manifested that, they're going to get rolled again.
Oh, Kyle.
They're going to have to come
in. You're going to jinx us.
Anyways, all right. We got to hit a break. We got to go. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen, and we got NBA Finals tonight for you on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Center.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
All right, we'll get to good idea or bad idea. We got three fun good idea or bad idea things today, but we're talking about this at the break. YouTube.com/ESPN1320, twitch.tv/ESPN1320. If you're driving into work or you're driving home or whatever it is you're doing and you're listening to the show, you can jump onto YouTube or Twitch when you get home or get wherever you're going because of mobile phones and things like that. And we don't go to break at the breaks.
No.
We're just on here. We're hanging out with you. So one of the things we were talking about at the break, though, was Zach Edey, the center from Purdue.
Mm-hmm.
The just behemoth of him. What did he measure in at? 7'5"? 7'4"?
I want to say he's 7'4" with, hang on, I have it right here. He is 7'3¾".
No, oh, never mind. He's not that tall.
With a 6'10¾" wingspan, 7'11" wingspan. 7'10¾".
Oh, you said 6'10¾".
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Wait, what?
7'10¾".
So an 8-foot wingspan?
Almost 8-foot wingspan. His standing reach is 9'7". And that's not even tiptoes. I mean, he's probably got size 20 shoe.
Yeah.
So that means he can grab the rim.
Oh, yeah. He's dunking without jumping.
Yeah.
It's so funny watching him dunk. Because you go somebody from like Malik Monk, right? Who when Malik Monk gets up, he is up.
Yeah.
Like that dude is out of the gym. And then you get a guy like Zach Edey who when he dunks, it looks meh. Looks like a Fisher-Price hoop.
He is a gigantic man.
This is what I was saying at the break. I have this with NFL players a lot too, because I do a ton of NFL draft stuff. And at least as it pertains to the 49ers. And so I find players every draft where I'm just like, you know what? I love this dude. Sheldrick Redwine, a safety from Miami.
Yep.
Was that player for me 1 year. Couldn't tell you, I just love how he played. And then I wrote about him and I went to go find a photo of him. And there's a photo of him holding a sign, a whiteboard on the sideline with the turnover chain on that just says the crib because he housed his interception. Like just incredible. Love him. Not a good football player. Not a good NFL player. Actively bad. But every time I see his name come up, I'm like, Niners should get that guy. I think he could be a player. That's where Zach Edey lands for me. He may be good in the NBA. I don't know. But we've been sitting here talking about the Kings, and every time we talk about the draft, it's kind of like, yeah, okay, look, here's all these names. There's all these guys to know, but how can they contribute this year? That's what matters is out of the gate, how can they help now? Forget their development. Forget what they look like in 3 years, 4 years. The Kings need to win 50 games. I don't know. Pick a number. X amount of games this year and make the playoffs. Like that is the floor, or that's going to be the expectation. So how does a rookie help? All of that goes out the window for Zach Edey. It doesn't need to be logical. It doesn't need to make sense. I don't need to know what his free throw percentage was or the fact that he doesn't shoot from X, Y, and Z spots on the floor or that he's too slow to play defense or whatever critique there is of Zach Edey. I don't care. I'm in.
You're in?
I'm so in.
I think he seems like a really good kid, and he is a winner.
He's a dog.
And he's got, like...
I'm a winner.
He's got skills. You have to defend him. He can rebound. He can block shots. It's just, I don't know how that works at the NBA level. And if you have a fast team, how does that work? I just... And you can't put him on the perimeter. Don't you shush me?
Don't you shush me? Don't bring logic into this.
He's just really tall, and I think, in all honesty, Alex Len provides every. If that's what you need, a tall guy, just bring Alex Lynn back.
Yeah.
Because Alex Lynn does do a lot of, I mean, he knows what he's doing. He knows where to be. He can move his feet.
Yeah.
He can set a pick at the 3-point line and then actually do something from there.
Sure.
I just have a feeling like Zach Edey, like everything that he did at the college level, it just looks, it's so slow. It's so slow. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
Okay. Removing the bit for a second. This is Kyle talking. Carl Mondstaff will be back shortly.
Okay.
You're right. Like when you watch him in college, you're going, man, when you get NBA athletes around this guy, not that like he played, he was pretty good against UConn and it just didn't, they had a bunch of NBA players and it still looked, I mean, the college game is just so different, right?
Well, he looked fine as far as the numbers, the rebounds,
yeah,
the block shots. His team got clubbed and they weren't even a part of it because all they had was him.
Right.
And it was really, really and difficult
just,
to watch.
Right. So when you're watching him, you go, how does this look with NBA athletes? I got it. So I get that. All right. Carl Mondstaff's back. But he's also 7'5" and can dunk without jumping.
That's right.
And that's what, can Alex Len do that? Is Alex Len 7'5"? No, I just want the spectacle of it. I want to go on the floor pregame for, you know, posting on social and, you know, doing work and stuff and talking to people. And hey, it was Victor Wembanyama, same thing.
Oh yeah.
Like you just there's a, it's a little bit different when that guy walks in the building. And that's how I would feel about Zach Edey.
Taco Fall, when Taco
Hilarious.
Fall came through for a pre-draft workout, it was like, okay, this is the biggest dude I have ever seen in my entire life. And like I've been around Simbular.
Simbular was comically big.
Comically big.
Just maxed out as a human.
Yeah, I don't think he had a single abdominal muscle.
No,
but
so he was the best.
But everything else, like he was so big, like 7'6", 7'7". Like him, but Taco is like, he's so wide.
Yeah.
You're just like, that is a gigantic human being.
It is nuts that a sport like basketball where size matters so much that a player like Taco Fall just can't be in an NBA rotation.
But see, that's why you have to have these conversations about a guy like Zach Edey.
Yeah, and that's kind of the thing with him specifically. And again, this isn't like there was some report that the Kings are going to draft. This is just us talking hoops.
Yeah.
That's the hey, can he be Rudy Gobert? Can he have that kind of, is he going to be that level of impactful defensively?
Mm.
Where, man, you know what? He's in the DPOY conversation every year and he's making all defensive teams and he's an actual impact player on that end of the court. Or is he Taco Fall?
Okay, but
where you go in the 1980s version of the NBA, yeah, maybe he comes in and dominates. But in the pace and space era, it doesn't fly.
I think if he could have converted himself into a Brook Lopez, then you would have been like, mm-hmm. Okay, I see how it works, right?
Yeah, you got to space the floor a little.
Yeah, you can go in the post and you can do your thing there, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you have got to be able to play on, because if not, everyone's just going to back way off and like, okay, well, what are you going to do now?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
you're going to stand out there like, well, we can send people out there and you're a big dude and tough to get around, but not really because you don't move your feet all that well.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's tough, man.
Did you see him at the combine though with the cones? He was moving.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I'll say like
got VW bugs for feet, but he's moving them.
Like Sim measured in at 7'5". Taco Fall is 7'6".
Taco Fall's hilarious.
I think the biggest outside of Taco Fall, the other biggest human being I've ever seen in person.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've seen Shaq. Like I've mm-hmm. been in a scrum with Shaq, but Aaron Gray was ginormous.
Aaron Gray.
He looked like Grizzly Adams. He came over with he went to Pitt. He came over in the Rudy Gay trade, and a gigantic man. He's 7 foot, but 7 foot and probably 325, maybe more. And then he ended up having heart problems, had to retire from the game. Mm. But that was a gigantic man, and just. But like when you were standing by him, you're like, mm-hmm. okay, that dude is huge.
I swear, the difference between a 6'9" and a 6'11" person is not discernible to me.
No.
A 6'9", that guy's like 6'9", 6'10", maybe 6'11". But 6'11" to 7 foot is like, it might as well be 10 feet.
Yeah.
It just feels so different. The first time I ever saw Tim Duncan, he was walking across the court pregame when I was interning.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like the scene in Jurassic Park where they first see the Brontosaurus.
Yep.
That's exactly how I felt. I was like, oh my God, this is ridiculous. I've never seen a human that tall.
I will say too, I was in the locker room when the Spurs had Duncan and Pau Gasol. I think they had Pau Gasol at the same time as Duncan. And
that feels right to me.
My goodness. Pau Gasol, there's two players that have done this. Like, I'll bring this up. They're players that talk with their hands, right? Like, but you'll get that. Like, but when a 6'3" guy talks with his hands and it's like, okay, whatever. When Pau Gasol is like standing over the top of you with like his gigantic wingspan and trying to explain something, it is absolutely wild. And the other guy who did that, who always was super animated when he talked, is Samuel Dalembert. And Dalembert was super fun to talk to. Crazy though.
I know. Tim Duncan's final year was the year before Gasol got there.
Okay, so they replaced him. He was fill-in after Duncan.
Yes.
Okay. But being in the locker room, like that locker room was fun to go talk to guys because Pau was like very, very nice and like just would answer every question. And the same with Manu Ginobili. Mm. Like sit there and like think about your question, like, okay, and then attack your question in like a really interesting way.
That's fun.
Yeah. Those were great guys to interview.
This 2016 Spurs roster I'm looking at is crazy. Patty Mills, Tony Parker, LaMarcus Aldridge, Danny Green, Matt Bonner, Rasul Butler, Manu, Tim Duncan, Kevin Martin, Andre Miller, David West, Boris Diaw, and Boban. A rookie Boban.
Wow.
Who I share a birthday with. I didn't know that until just now.
That's incredible. See, Boban is the guy that I worry Zach Edey. And I don't know if he can be Boban, because at least he's like the most amazing human being ever, and everyone just wants him around the team.
Yeah,
because he's fun.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's not really Zach Edey's game.
Yeah, I think he wants to like go win, and
he's very intense, and like, and I don't know that like him playing on the it is going to happen. I don't know he'll get a lot of playing time, but we might be wrong. We got a good idea, bad idea? Is that what we
got a couple of them for you.
All right.
Good idea or bad idea. We do this every day. We pick three things happening in sports and we say whether that thing is a good idea or bad idea. Golden State Warrior, Klay Thompson, is a unrestricted free agent this offseason. His free agency is definitely the biggest question in Golden State. But also, I think it's an interesting thing from around the league because what impact does he have? How much is he worth at this point of his career? He has deleted, or at least archived, all of his Warriors-related posts on Instagram and erased all vestiges of his time with the Warriors from his Instagram page. Good idea or bad idea by athletes to do the social media scrub heading into free agency?
I feel like this is a bit, Kyle.
It kind of feels like it.
I feel like this is Instagram scrubbing Clay. Clay on a boat. We see Clay with his dog. This is the Instagram scrubbing Clay.
Yeah, okay, you erased your mad that, like, does this change anything for Golden State or any team? Anytime a player wipes their social media, Kyler Murray did it with the Cardinals.
Oh, yeah.
Kyler Murray still plays for the Cardinals. Deebo Samuel did it during his contract negotiation with the 49ers. Still on the Niners. This just doesn't move the needle, man.
I think it's fun, though. It's like, sick burn.
It's a great idea to get public to get the public opinion on your side and provide a little pressure. So I guess from that standpoint, it's a good idea.
I guess.
Otherwise, I feel like it might just kind of be a waste of time.
I think it might be a waste of time. I forgot to turn on the computer, Casey. My bad.
That's fine. Kenny Caraway being here for the handoff in a second. Number two, the Astros pulled their starting pitcher, Ronel Blanco, yesterday after 7 innings and 94 pitches in the midst of his second no-hit bid of the season. He threw a no-hitter on opening day, on April 1. And then had another one going last night in the seventh and got pulled. Good idea or bad idea?
I kind of want to see how it plays out. I mean, first of all, he's not a young guy. He should be established and able to, like, keep going there. I don't know. I think that that's a bad idea. I would have liked to have seen him get another opportunity. And, like, I'd have to go back to his first start of the year and what impact that had on him and see how he pitched. Like, but I'm looking at it. You know, he has a no-hitter in game one and then six innings of one-hit ball in game two. He goes six in the next three, five and two-thirds, six, five and two-thirds. I probably would have let him go. Like, let him hit 150 pitches if it
mattered. Yeah, man, that's...
Like 120.
I'm giving him one more, unless there's something that they know is a danger for him.
They're seeing the mechanics start to slip or something.
Right. Yeah. But dude, I'm giving him one more inning. See if he can get through the eighth inning on five or six pitches.
That's tough.
Yeah.
That's really tough. I mean, he had eight strikeouts.
It's a bad idea. Let him go for it. And let him go for a second no-hitter.
He's been excellent this season.
He's been really good.
Like, quality starts. He's got a ton of quality starts. He's only got, maybe two rough starts, but even those, he didn't really even get that lit up. I think it looked like injuries in both of those, or just getting, I don't know.
All right.
That's wild.
Number three, last one here, then we'll get to Kenny Caraway in the handoff. The Olympics are holding swimming events in the Seine River.
Yep.
I looked it up today and then forgot. So in the Seine River, where swimming has been outlawed for a century because the water is disgusting. Runoff from the street, sewage, boat pollution. So they've stopped having boats and stuff on the river to help with pollution. They've invested $1.5 billion in this 13 million gallon tank that is supposed to siphon off the bad water. They don't have a plan B. If it rains and that during the Olympics and that 13 million gallon tank gets overflowed and the water's disgusting and they can't compete, they're just not swimming. This is the open water events. They have like a pool for the swimming events, but for the triathlon, stuff like that. It would just be a biathlon at that point.
I get it. It's so much a part of their city. It is a beautiful, beautiful part of their city. I don't think I would go anywhere near that. Like, bodies of water, like that. I mean, that thing's been around for thousands of years.
You don't want to know. If they drained the Seine, you would not want to just know what's in there.
Oh, no.
I want no parts of whatever things are happening inside that river.
Well, Kyle, that's a... like a medieval city, maybe.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
Where some of the pipes go that you don't know where they go, they're going in there.
You don't want to know.
Yeah, the sewer system, it wasn't great and probably wasn't any good at all up until probably like 80 years ago.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I feel like we see this every year with the Olympics. Kenny Caraway here for the handoff. There's something that is going to go catastrophically wrong and, oh my God, this isn't going to be ready. And this stadium isn't going to be built. And oh my goodness, they're not going to be able to have these nine events. And then everything goes off and it's fine.
Agreed.
I think it's going to be fine.
It happens all the time. Yeah, it'll be fine.
It would basically take historic rainfall for this 13 million gallon tank to get overloaded to where the water would not be suitable for human swimming.
Okay. I'm not sure. I wouldn't trust it. I just have like... That is it. Like, I've been to cities in Europe where you're walking down the streets and you're like, their sewer system still isn't right.
Yeah.
And it's like, 2000 and you're like, what's happening here? This is not like, this city smells.
Yeah.
And that's certain cities in Europe. They've been around forever. That city's been around forever. I don't know what's dumping into that. And I wouldn't want to go swimming in it.
The Olympics are, what, about 4 weeks away, 5 weeks away?
Yeah, middle of July.
Wasn't the 2024 Olympics awarded to Paris like 15 years ago?
Yeah, that's what they've built this entire $1.5 billion water tank.
See, that's the
and
problem.
The IOC, right? They should have, like, you think you can host the Olympics. I need to know for sure that you're about to, like, I need to know everything that you're going to do, how you're going to do it, where these events are going to be held. Mm-hmm. I'm familiar with this little nasty river that you have. How are you going to fix that? How much money is it going to cost? When is it going to take? Like, it should be done 8 years before the Olympics, not 8 weeks.
Yeah.
I think they easily...
They did a test event in the water, and it was fine. Everything went off okay.
Okay.
It's just a matter of, yo, if it rains, which it could, climate's crazy.
Oof.
If it rains, it's like, hey, we're not having swimming events. The lack of the plan B is what is crazy to me.
That is a trip.
I also think that they have to have like other rivers that they or other places that they could have done this. Mm-hmm. Like,
but they want outside. The scenery of it.
I get it, but for what event? First of all, the scenery of it runs right down the middle of Paris. It's a beautiful mm-hmm. like everyone walks yeah. over the bridges in order to go from like the main area of Paris to like yeah. the Eiffel Tower. Mm-hmm. You've got to cross the sign. Mm-hmm. So, and it's on one side and like, I don't know, like Notre Dame is on the other side,
yeah.
like main, oh, the Louvre is on one side. There's actually a point where the Louvre is on one side and the D'Orsay Museum mm-hmm. is on the other, like they're right across from each other, but mm-hmm. you have to take bridges and stuff.
Yeah.
Like it's a beautiful part of the city, but I don't know why you had to have an event in it. That's where
the
I'm.
TV, man.
Is that the equivalent of, you know, the Olympics being in New York City and they want swimming events in the Hudson River?
Oh, yeah.
Is that the equivalent of that?
Like, yeah, probably.
Or if they had, what they could do in San Francisco, you got to swim from Alcatraz to somewhere else.
Well, that
and
could
you got to clear the sharks out.
An hour-long discussion. <if we talk. laughs>
Got to clear all the sharks out.
In L.A., nice. where would it be? They don't, I guess, right off of one of the beaches. They
that
really...
canal. You fill it with water.
Yeah. That's where it's going to be. Are we going to the Olympics 2028?
Yeah, we're pulling up. Let's for go. Sure.
Oh.
World Cup in 26, Olympics in 28.
Oh, I cannot wait for World Cup.
That's going to be a good look.
Gonna be in there.
It's oh,
be
yeah.
Look. Can't wait. Chatty House is going to invade the Olympics.
With Discord.
That'd be great. How's it going, man?
I'm good, man. Good.
Happy late Father's Day to both of you guys, by the way.
Man,
thanks.
Happy belated Father's Day, James.
I'm bad at that stuff.
Sure.
I should have texted you guys, but you know,
that's all right.
I miss James, man, because I was just trying to text as many people as I could think of, and forgot about my man James Ham. So happy Father's Day.
Yeah,
James
you
Ham,
too, man.
For sure. Had a good weekend though.
Did you watch the U.S. Open at all? Or did you guys follow the U.S. Open?
No.
I think choking in sports is like overrated. Like I think not overrated, but overused. Mm. If you miss a three at the buzzer because there's two hands in your face and you're 30 feet from the basket falling away, you just missed a tough shot.
Yeah.
If a 62% free throw shooter misses a free throw at the end of a game in choke, he's just not a good free throw shooter. Mm-hmm. That's just what it is. But in golf, when you're Rory McIlroy and you're 463 for 463, I think, on putts inside of 4 feet, and then you miss two of them with the U.S. Open on the line, with a major on the line?
It's tough. That's tough.
That's a choke job.
Yeah. That's tough, man. I remember one time Dirk Nowitzki, I think it was, he was talking about like people getting nervous at the free throw line. Mm-hmm. He was like, everybody's like, oh, ice cold, my bad, I don't feel this and that, this and that. He's like, everybody gets nervous. What happens is the best people are able to calm their nerves and go back to the muscle memory that they have.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, they don't miss in those situations. But
yeah.
Same thing here. You know, I'm sure he was nervous, just like
definitely.
Any other human being. And in that moment, he wasn't able to overcome those nerves.
Yeah.
Crazy.
That's what would have happened to me, for sure. I'm not judging Rory McIlroy. I'm just saying, if you're going to say something, somebody choked in sports, that was a pretty epic choke job. Congrats to Bryson DeChambeau, who just Brysoned his way around the court. Course. And,
big ups to those guys.
And won a major.
If they walked into Odyssey Studios right now, I'd have no idea. I'd be like, Kim, who are these people?
Really?
Really. Maybe I might know Rory. What's his name? DeChambeau?
Bryson DeChambeau, yeah.
No clue.
Perfect. What do you guys got coming up?
More of that.
You guys are going to start late, by the way. Sorry, I messed this up.
More of that. Mavericks-Celtics game 5. Is the NBA season over tonight? We thought it was over on Friday, but we got another game. So we got all that going.
There we go. Kenny Caraway, Damian Barlin coming up next. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We've been the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. And until tomorrow at 10 a.m., drink water and be nice to people. Boop.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.